The Sharpshooters, episode 44, February 16, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
Also known as the falling parent, Christopher Daniels.
What?
Oh, no.
What?
We are the Sharpshooters.
And, yes, ignore that joke.
This is episode 44. Yeah. You know what? This is a delayed episode. Raw came on Thursday. We are directly following Raw 27 minutes after. Let's stop the rambling. Let's get into the show. We have too much to cover. Let's do it.
Isn't that much?
And guess what, people? We have to do it again on Saturday because Eric is going out of town. So we're going to have to try to get everything done. So let's stop talking.
Wait. We're going to have to do what again?
On Saturday, we got to record quick so they get one day rest from hearing us, and then they go back into action
with
episode 45.
Well, they don't
45.
Have to listen to us back to back.
That's a good point.
They don't have to go, oh, I got to hear
now, before,
I'm so 44, 45, wait, back to back. Oh,
before
my God.
My
knee.
Before I jump into the show, let me give out some information. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
Oh.
Our email address is...
Oh, that's sharpshooters@gmail.com.
We have a Frapper Map, Podcast Alley, all that good stuff. That's enough said.
Oh, wait, let me say the... Oh, you said the Flash Map and...
Yeah, I did. I did all that good stuff.
We trying to skim through the information?
We got to get... Marcus, we have...
Right, we go through that to the end. We got a while
because,
ago.
You know, at first I thought the TNA Against All Odds pay-per-view was going to be a brief one because we were just going to give the results. But I know because we both saw we're going to give a little bit about it.
We're going to give a lot of insight.
No, just a little bit.
Look, I'm going to say it's going to be a lot if we add it up together because we're going to probably comment on at least a little bit on every
yes.
match.
Yes. All right. So first news story is...
Because we actually saw it.
For all the Bret Hart fans out there in the world, Bret Hart will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. Now, this has been a story that has been circulating the net for I don't know how long. Everybody knew that the big names that WWE wanted in their Hall of Fame was Eddie Guerrero this year
yep.
and Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was that they did not know if Bret was going to appear.
Yeah, so it's circles around that old 10 years little thing
yes.
10 years ago.
The reports state on the net that Bret Hart has made a deal with WWE to appear at the Hall of Fame ceremony. He elected not to be paid for the event because he is considering his farewell in WWE. This ceremony will be held on April 1st. Now, there are people that feel that this...
The day before WrestleMania, you should always
yes,
call that out.
Some people feel that this may have never happened if Jeff Jarrett was able to keep the meeting that he had scheduled with Bret. But because of a family emergency, the meeting never took place.
Well, do you think it had anything to do with TNA management?
Jackie Gator.
Jackie Gator. Jarrett life. Anyway, Bret's in the Hall of Fame now. Congratulations, Bret the Hitman Hart.
I think it'd be great if Shawn Michaels had the inductee, but that
that'd be terrible. You gotta dig up the anvil. All
right, we're going.
You gotta get the anvil to do it.
As you guys all know, we reported on a past episode about Bob Orton Sr. about him being off the road from WWE because of his hepatitis illness. Well, he's gonna be off permanently now. He was released by WWE on Valentine's
oh,
Day.
Oh hell no!
Where was the love?
I love Bob Orton. Well, it's not love.
He pissed the Undertaker off. He wrestled with hepatitis. Undertaker was pissed.
Yes, he was a great manager.
Indeed.
And he, well, didn't really help Randy that much. In the matches, he always interfered. But he didn't really do much, but he was there. And I liked it, Bob Orton. And once Hoover 2 left, I knew he was just a matter of time where Bob had to go to.
Now, you guys have to forgive us for our ignorance on this next spot, but it's a TNA story. Marcus and I have just recently really started watching TNA when it came to Spike, but there are rumors that Low-Ki is possibly returning to TNA. I have no idea who Low-Ki is.
I'm going to say he may have been from New Japan.
Yes, he had a discussion with Jeff Jarrett about returning to TNA. If he returns, he will work with the Latin American Exchange and in the X Division.
So wait a minute, he's not from New Japan. No. So you said yes. Although you knew what the story was, but yet you still say yes. He's right from New Japan.
I'm sorry, I didn't read the story.
How old is this news?
This happened on February 14th. I was really prepping the show a lot for all this good stuff. Now, let's get to the thing. The game is upset. Triple H is upset with WWE.com. Triple H is upset with the latest that has been happening on the website. He feels that WWE has been trying to push more news on the site so they can battle with some of the websites that break rumors, but it's taken away credit from the storylines because people are seeing these wrestlers backstage, people who are supposed to be injured and not there, and Triple H is feeling that it's hurting the character. And he said what really pissed him off is when they use his real name on a website and news article.
Hey, nobody knew his name was Paul Lovegood.
Levesque.
Whatever his name is.
But I guess Triple H.
His real name is Triple H, by the way.
I don't know if Triple H power or has anything to do with this next story, but WWE Bite This has been canceled.
Yeah, I don't know if this had anything to do with him. Well, it had a lot, because it was an infamous episode that I have yet to watch.
With the heartthrobs.
Yeah, with the newly released heartthrobs, who along with Bob Wooden was released, and the producer and the show apparently got totally out of control, and they stopped talking wrestling. There was no control. A producer got fired, and the heartthrob.
Yes.
Over the Bite but This. The Bite This may be
they're
canceled.
Saying that if Bite This does come back, it would no longer be a live show. It would be taped, which I think will take away some of the luster, because ain't nothing like watching Bite This and the caller come in, TNA rocks!
TNA's better. Oh.
Yeah, so that's kind of
funny. Oh, whatever. And then Ty Grisham. Oh, whatever.
All right. All you Hulkamaniacs out there. Woo! Guess what's happening? Hulk Hogan is finally getting his own DVD. The Hulk Hogan Ultimate Anthology DVD will be released on April 4th. It will have 4 discs and include over 25 of his matches.
Now, this is what I'm disappointed about. Why does he get 4 discs, and yet The Undertaker get 3, and yet Bret Hart get 3?
Because I think they're putting him in the same...
I think Rob got 2.
They're putting him in the same greatness as Ric Flair, because Ric Flair had 4.
He had 4?
Yeah.
Well, Ric Flair matches were like an hour long. He had to have 4. He had like 5 matches on his disc.
And for you true Hulkamania fans, the first 500 DVDs will have a print hand-signed by Hulk Hogan.
So I get the size of Hogan's hand in my house.
No, it's a picture signed by him, Marcus.
I thought it was a hand.
No, have a print hand signed.
Oh, by his... I thought it was like a print, and then you see Hogan's hand. It's like, wow, it's Hogan's hand.
All right, we have a bit of sad news. Another
Let me get back on Hogan before we get into the tragic news. Then I can't say what I want to say about Hogan.
Okay.
Aren't all Hogan matches the same?
Pretty much.
They're just him getting beat up. He comes back with a flurry with the Hulkamaniacs.
But me and Marcus, being the professionals that we are, we will buy that DVD.
I'm considering we will buy the money on it, but I'm nervous.
And if we don't like the DVD, we will give the DVD away to you guys.
Oh, by the way, next week, is it next week?
This
week,
next episode,
we're
on Saturday.
We're reviewing ESPN.
You're reviewing ECW. I haven't seen it. I only saw
one
match.
And let's get into your one match.
All right. Like I said, on a sad note, we have some news. A wrestler has passed away. Mike Johnny Grunge Durham of the tag team Public Enemy passed away this morning in Atlanta, Georgia. There are not many details available except that on the way to the hospital, he was gasping for air, which made his friends at the house call the ambulance. They think that his passing has something to do with complications from sleep apnea. I believe that's the disease where you sleep, but you stop breathing for points in time while you sleep, which is kind of scary because they say it really affects people who are overweight.
Yeah.
Also, just to point out, because Marty's didn't notice, his partner, Teddy Rocco Rock Petty, died actually from a heart attack in September of 2002. And it's a tragedy that both members of Public Enemy is no longer with us because, I mean, it would be nice to see them at least Johnny Grudge at the ECW pay-per-view that we're going to have this year. It'd be nice to see him there, at least, you know, show some type of respect toward his partner.
Now, hopefully they do the right thing, give a W tribute.
A bell salute.
A big tribute like they did last year for all the fallen ECW stars.
Exactly.
In the past of that time.
So, like we said, our condolences go out to his family and to his friends, and we'll be taking a break.
Sorry about those.
You know, know what that music means. It's now time for our TNA report. And TNA kind of pretty much, I have to say, this was probably the most dominating week for TNA ever for me against WWE.
They dominate. They have momentum on this side. They haven't had momentum like this since their debut on Spike and since the Thursday Night Special.
And I have to say, not because of Impact, but because of the awesome pay-per-view that they put on.
So, Against All Odds. If you
yeah, listen. So let's get through the Impact report, and we'll tell you the results from the Against All Odds pay-per-view.
And normally on pay-per-views, we normally like do, we always point them out and give them matches on there, but I don't think we did that this week.
Yeah, we did, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to add a little bit extra to the... Let's let the show flow. We'll side from there. Let's go. Here. So the first match of TNA Impact was Austin Aries and Roderick Strong versus Chris Sabin! And Sonjay Dutt. Zbyszko unfortunately did commentary on this match, but I have to say something.
It's in the notes, unfortunately.
He did worse commentary than Christopher Daniels. He didn't say nothing of importance.
Nobody on TNA apparently can do color commentary. Pretty much. Except for Mike. This is what they need to do. The TNA really need to do. They need to get some money together. At least try to get a decent color commentary. Go after JR. I don't believe he's under contract anymore. Go after somebody because Mike today probably could be a good color man, but he is not a play-by-play. And Don West is abysmal.
Well, anyway, because Marcus went on his rant.
That was a rant about really just my hatred for Don West. All right,
now let me go through the notes before you interrupt.
The nuts?
Before you interrupt me, okay, Marcus?
Okay.
Sonjay Dutt and Chris Sabin lands a double block breaker on Austin Aries, and then they toss him out of the ring. Also, they knock Roderick Strong off the apron. Sabin acts like he is going to jump off over the top rope onto Aries and Strong, but out of nowhere, Sonjay flies over Sabin and lands on them outside of the ring. After that, Strong and Aries has control working over Sabin until he tags Sonjay in. Sonjay delivers a DDT on Strong, and he hung both opponents upside down in opposing corners. He tagged in Chris Sabin, and he landed his floating dropkick on both individuals, but it also appeared that he injured his ankle. The match ends when Aries misses off the top rope, and he hits his partner. Sabin took this opportunity to land the cradle shock on Aries for the win. Marcus, what did you feel about this match?
Good match. I was shocked, actually, by the ending. I actually thought that Roderick Strong and Austin Aries wouldn't win this match instead of Sonjay and Chris Sabin because Austin Aries and Strong have been,
they've been asking for the push.
Yeah. And Chris Sabin and Sonjay really just came out of left field in this whole little tournament. I expected them to get eliminated in the first round, actually. I forgot who they fought.
But I think what really sucks is what happened later on in the show, how they really just took away any chance of us believing that Chris Sabin and Sonjay had a chance of winning the titles.
Of course, but you know.
But overall, they put on a very good match. It was a nice opening match for Impact.
Nice match for Impact. Haven't seen a real match on Impact in a while, have I?
Not really.
Because after that, squash match after squash match.
After that, they air a video featuring Christian Cage.
Here we go.
Christian talks about how he left WWE to be part of a new promotion and to be a big-time superstar. He states that he was shocked about Sting's retirement, but he does not feel that by him getting the title shot, it's a thing that forced Sting to retire.
He snuck in through the back door, just like Jared said. That's what he did. It was Sting's title shot to have, but Sting all of a sudden has to leave his bat in the ring and walk off. Just walks off.
You just can never let me finish, huh?
I'm sorry, I have to get into that.
One more sentence. And
Go ahead. Go ahead.
He feels he needs to win the title in order to prove that he is not a mid-card comedy act, what Jeff Jarrett called him. Now, Marcus, you can interject with your comments.
I have nothing to say.
Yeah, because you keep cutting me off, man.
That's what you got to do,
No,
man.
You don't have to cut me
I
off.
I got to throw you these.
No, because Mark, when we get the new bikes, you're going to talk over me. It's going to sound very bad because we're coming at the same time. We have to learn how to flow. You can't cut me off. I'm not going to cut you off.
All right, so I'm not cutting you off no more?
Don't cut me off.
Daggone it.
God, but you know you're going to still do it.
It's going to slip. It's just one of those things, man.
And I have a question for you, Marcus.
Yeah.
Where the hell is the franchise?
I don't know. Oh, here's another thing I was going to throw out. What can he do color commentary over Don West?
Who?
And have Mike today in the franchise down there.
Marcus, can we get off of Don West? Don West is there. He's there to stay. He's been there for probably over 4 years. So
there's
nothing you can do.
Status. He hasn't been there 4 years. He couldn't have been.
I don't know. Anyway, it's time for Terry Taylor time, or I call it interview time with the Red Rooster. The Rare Rooster interviews Cassidy, asking him has he heard from Raven. Cassidy is going to a rant about how Raven is not returning any of his calls. Then he's interrupted by Jackie Gator.
No, here we go. Bad acting.
And pretty much, Jackie Gator, first, her stomach looks gross. I don't know what's up with her stomach, but it just...
It has that little bin right there.
I don't know what that is. But anyway...
Above the stomach, though, it's pretty good.
The Rat Rooster points out the fact that this is Cassidy time. What has Cassidy ever had time on the on interviewing? But she says, you know what, no matter. She says, tell Raven, Cassidy, that I'm giving them 7 days. If not, I'm going to break everything out. My point is, then she just hear Cassidy just say, I haven't heard from Raven.
I can't talk to Raven. Raven has vanished. Does this mean that she's the girl that Raven was obsessed about, or...
I don't know. I think she just knows about Jared's plan to screw them in the Canada. You know what happened.
And screw Raven?
So pretty much, Jackie gives Jared, the whole Jared camp, 7 days to meet her demands.
So this is a threat.
Yes, it's a threat. Scott D'Amore.
It's Scott D'Amore, okay? Me and you have been saying Scott D'Amore for every week. It's pronounced D'Amore.
Okay, Scott D'Amore comes into the picture and says that they will meet all of her demands, but they need more time.
Mm-hmm.
She says they only have 7 days, and that's it. And then Cassidy and her walk off. After that, Alex Shelley shows up in the picture.
With the Shelley cam.
And D'Amore asks him, did he get any footage on Jackie? Shelley teases like he didn't get any, and he said he did, and Jackie was one kinky day. Now, Marcus, before we start this show, you posed a fact to me. What is wrong if she was having sex? And second of all, is Jackie that stupid when they announced what they were doing that she did not make the precautions to close her curtains?
I mean, don't they film TNA like 2 weeks in advance? And she had time.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. If they did in 2 weeks in advance, she couldn't have seen it. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
But anyway, if it's sex, what's wrong with her having sex with Charlie Haas? Well, if it's not with Charlie Haas, then there's a problem.
So, now, what I'm wondering what they're going to do with Raven, because he is coming back. I'm pretty sure Raven is not going to go after Christian. Because Christian didn't screw him.
No, I think they're going to fit him into the Jared.
So, who's going to be Christian's competition?
There has to be Monty Brown. Well, let's just keep going through the show, and let's get into the Christian competition after he wins the belt against All Odds.
Well, people are saying that Sting might be the one that he feuds with. Yeah. Believe it or not. All right, time for the next match. I would dub this instead of the Morphoplex move of the night, the match I did not want to see on the night.
Oh.
It's Team 3D versus Diamond in the Rough. If you don't know who these guys are, it's Elix Skipper and David Young with Simon Diamond. Diamonds in the Rough try to attack Team 3D before the match even starts, but they are just thrown off the ring. When that happens, American Most Wanted comes out on the ramp, and they say that if they get past Team Canada at Against All Odds, they will get a shot at the titles. Now, Marcus, I'm going to ask you a question before I finish. Did they not care that a match was going on right here just to interrupt?
No, it's just apparently nobody else cared because Bubba grabbed the mic, Devon grabbed the mic.
Yeah.
The AMW and Gail Kim had a mic.
So, Bubba grabbed
the mic. I don't know if Gail Kim was out there.
No, she was out there. Bubba grabbed the mic. He called Canada a miserable place and said that they would take Team Canada out. And they were attacked from behind by Petey Williams and A1. They tossed them out. What made me mad about this is that why is Petey Williams and A1 attacking Team 3D when they're not even facing them at the Against All Odds pay-per-view?
They're going against Saban and Dutt.
Yeah, so after Team 3D throws them out the ring, they go outside, they get a table, and they set it up in the ring. Then Bobby Roode, the Canadian enforcer, Bobby Roode, and Eric Young come out, and now it's a 4-on-2 battle. They attack Team 3D. They put Bubble through a table, and Devon gets clocked with the plaque for Tag Team of the Year. My issue is
Devon's bleeding, as he always does after every time the Dudleys get jumped.
Now, my issue with this is, first of all, it's another squash. It's not even a squash match.
It wasn't a match. I mean, even Skipper and him just left.
I mean,
the match never started.
Did it? No, it did. It started, but it did. I think they could accomplish this with just interview time. You send Team 3D out there to talk.
They're interrupted.
Team Canada runs in. Same thing is accomplished.
You had to mock like it's a match here.
He didn't.
I was really looking forward to seeing the Skipper tonight. I had inside information that he was going to be in rare form.
Oh, God. All right, the next match of the night was a triple threat match. This was a match to tease, I guess, the X Division Championship match between Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, and AJ Styles. This match, though, had Samoa Joe, Marcus' newfound favorite wrestler, who did not start off the show for a change, Jay Lethal.
Yeah, and, for the first time.
And a guy that I have never heard of, Chazen Ranch. I could have said his name wrong, but it really doesn't matter.
Ranch dressing.
Jay Lethal tried to attack Joe early in the match, but Joe just tossed him outside the ring.
Of course.
This left Joe alone with Ranch, who received the muscle buster, and then he tapped out to the Coquina Clutch. And that was the match.
Like 1 minute. There was no need for Joe to get this tune-up match.
My whole thing is, you should never have a triple threat squash match. It just doesn't make any sense.
They could
have
had... What was this match even for? And why is Jay Lethal always being squashed?
I think it's just a show.
At least Kenny King wasn't in it with him.
I know. It's just a show, I guess, that...
Joe's unstoppable?
He's unstoppable.
He's already proven that. I mean, he's undefeated for like 10 months now. What was it, 8?
Yeah, I don't know.
I lost count.
So after that, they air a Jeff Jarrett video.
Here we go.
From the press conference. And then they put some clips of Jarrett saying things about Sting... and about Christian.
Hey,
it wasn't really that important. It was just there.
Little Jarrett speaking calm about his situation right now.
Now it is time for one of the most strangest main events on Impact that I have ever seen. It's Abyss and Monty Brown.
Okay.
And you know what? That's okay because they are part of Jarrett's faction. But then it's Rhino and Ron the Truth Killing.
Now, this makes sense because Rhino is fighting Abyss out against all odds.
Exactly.
Monty Brown
is in a camp with Jarrett.
Yes, but Ron not Killing? Really in a camp with Jarrett. It's just he's like the Marcus, hired help for Jarrett.
But Marcus, like I said, it was no problem with Abyss, Monty Brown, and Rhino. I have problems
they
with...
They feel like throwing a tube in there.
Ron Killing's former 4 Live Crew, 3 Live Crew member.
But they had nobody else to put in there.
I guess because Jeff Hardy is still on his hiatus.
Yes, they had nobody else. Sabu is not around anymore, apparently. There is nobody you can fit into there other than with Rhino. All
right, Marcus, let me get
AJ
to...
AJ wasn't available.
Let me get into the match. They aired footage from last week of Rhino driving Abyss through the wall. Killing's dropkick Abyss outside of the ring, and he followed that up by jumping over the top rope onto Abyss. Then they went to commercial. Once again, like we said, nothing against the Truth.
He just need to stop dancing.
He just need to stop dancing.
I mean, it's just frustrating.
And maybe throw some tights on. I don't know.
I don't care about wrestling in jeans. I don't mind that. I don't mind you not being tights. Take this. Act like the match is more important than your damn dancing.
What about a fade?
I don't care about the hair. As you see with Booker T, I don't care about the hair.
All right.
Yeah, one time Booker T had the worst hair in business.
I would like him to undo the braids and come to wrestle with a Jerry curl. That'd be the greatest
that'd
thing.
That'd be the worst.
No, your finishing move would be you just rub your head and the guy, he's blinded by the Jerry curl juice.
Or he slipped. And
anyway, we're back from the commercial.
There was no commercial.
Yeah, it was a commercial after they jumped over the top.
Oh, you're digressing. I thought that was the commercial.
No. Abyss and Brown beat Killings down and prevents him from making the tag to Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Rhino finally gets tagged in and he gives a spine buster to Monty Brown and then he tries to gore Brown, but Abyss steps in the way. Rhino then clotheslined Abyss and himself outside of the ring and then Rhino and Abyss fought and ended up backstage. So it became the Truth versus the Alpha Male.
Yes.
Brown attempted a powerbomb on the Truth, but he slips out and lands a front slam. Mm-hmm. From there, Conan comes out.
Out of that field!
And tries to give the Truth the blackjack.
Because he wants Conan, I guess, to be a part of LAX, the Latino American Exchange. And Ron True Killers is black, but, you know.
This distracted him
enough. That stopped the nation with Owen Hart.
For Monty to land the pounce for the win. Conan and Killing stare at each other after the match. Conan had no purpose out there with the blackjack.
He had the blackjack. He was like, use it. Use it. It'll help you. Dude, I would get DQ. Use it.
Then after that, they show Christian walking out of the TNA management office. Well, he was in there earlier talking, but I failed to mention that.
I missed that earlier.
And once he's outside, you know, he said that the outside interference was taken care of, and he was talking to Sting on the phone. He promised that he would win the belt. Why is him and Sting such buddy buddies?
They've been buddy buddies for many years now, I guess. Since back Team Eck days, and he was in there.
I don't know.
They're buddy buddies because I guess Sting talked him into it. That was a pretty good tag match at the end of TNA.
It was
actually a good impact.
It was a very good impact, except for the Team 3D thing that I think they blew. And also they had the squash match for Samoa Joe.
They could have had, like, I would have rather seen, like, I don't know.
I think you could have put Christopher Daniels in a triple threat, made it go a little bit longer. But I think the issue why this happens this way, why they do all these squash matches, because they don't have that extra hour to stretch. If they, I tell you, I really feel this way. If TNA got 2 hours, they would actually be serious competition to WWE.
I feel that. I don't even think they need 2 hours. They just need an extra 30 minutes.
I think 2 hours. It's just like a fair team. You can't go in football. You can't have 64 people on this team and 40 on the other team. You come in there, you give both people 2 hours, and the best product wins.
Mm-hmm.
The wrestling, when the X Division is on TNA, that wrestling outdoes
Snitsky and Tongo. But, I mean, not Snitsky and Tongo. It can outdo some of the major matches in WWE.
See, the thing is,
but when, like,
WWE gets lazy with some of the matches. Like, we'll get a Snitsky versus Shelton Benjamin. No one wants to see Snitsky versus Shelton Benjamin.
I don't know. That's equivalent to an Abyss versus Kip James.
That's a squash match with somebody who's supposed to be good.
Is that a squash? I didn't say that was a squash match. I thought, but that's like their main event for tonight.
Well, anyway, let's stop digressing. Yeah. We need 2 hours. Let's get into the results from Against All Odds. The first match of the night, which I felt really kicked the night off really well, was the Naturals, who defeated Austin Aries and Roderick Strong. Now, before Marcus interrupt, which he did, I'm shocked. I was more shocked that Aries and Strong lost again because they were building them up. And now they're, like, deflating them back down.
Well, it's not like fading them back down because they are considered young talent and they're cocky and, you know, the old cocky, I'm crazy, we can do anything. And, you know, that they want their push. But I don't think they want to make these guys a tag team. I think they're probably going to maybe go singles more. They might be a tag team, but I don't know if they really want them to be their tag team.
I think it really depends on if they have that X Division tag team belt that they were talking about.
I don't think they need that. Well, anyway, and also, the Naturals, I think they had to give them a win.
They had.
When's the last time they won a match? They haven't won since on TV.
Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens, man.
Man, that's the ultimate tag team, though. You don't see tag teams like that no more. I mean, one with blonde hair, one with black hair, they're wearing the same clothes down. They don't have a manager.
Marcus.
They're matching all the way down.
They're the modern-day Rockers. That's Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty all over again.
Nah.
One of them going to become a star, the other one's going to become a drunk.
Nah, I believe they're going to be a tag team for a long time.
Now, the next match was a match that...
Don't call Marty Jannetty a drunk. I mean, Shawn Michaels a drunk.
No, I was calling Marty Jannetty a drunk. I don't know. The next match is a match that actually I didn't even know was on the card.
Me neither, it was a pleasant surprise.
It was a very good match. This match, Jay Lethal, I would have to say, even though he won, he stole a victory.
He stole this one clean, but
from he defeated Petey Williams, Matt Bentley, and Alex Shelley.
This was a nice deal because I forgot somebody came out. I can't remember who came out specifically. He came out.
Jackie Gator.
Yeah,
it was Jackie Gator. She was hollering at Alex Shelley, "You have no business doing what you did." No one cared what's going on.
And Petey Williams was distracted by this because he was like, "Hey, look at all the fight, man. I'm about to give you the Canadian Destroyer, but I'd rather see Jackie Gator
come
out."
I have a question for you,
Alex Shelley.
I found out that Matt Bentley was the oldest person in the ring at 26.
Yeah.
How old is Petey Williams? Because he look older than 26.
Man, Petey Williams, he doesn't look that old. If you shave his beard, he'll look young. But Petey Williams is about, I'd say he's about 23, 24.
But
he doesn't look old.
It's nice to see Jay Lethal get a win. Looks like they about to start giving him a push.
It's not sure. Because Tanae and them didn't really make a big deal over Jay Lethal upset these guys. He just said Jay Lethal with the win. And then what about this Jackie Gator situation? And Don West is screaming and over nothing.
All right, now the next
match,
No Insight. It was a match that was just, this was like a buzz killer for the night. We were real hyped. The James Gang defeat LAX. Wait. Only thing that needs to be mentioned is that Conan has a new member, Machete, and he did not wrestle that night. So
no, not Machete, Conan. Conan did not wrestle in a match that was about him and the James Gang.
Yes,
it wasn't about Homicide or Machete.
It was about them.
Who is pronounced Machete or whatever. he didn't say Machete, right? Just say Machete. Anyway.
He said Machete.
Yeah, it's not Machete. It's Machete.
Because I'm the game.
Okay. All right, anyway, and this match was pointless to the point when, first it was like, all right, Kona's not in it. All right. Why is he not in it? That's all right. It's just Billy Gunn and them. It's probably going to be bad anyway. Anyway, the match is all basic, and apparently the James Gang win. They go over why Kip James is now called Kip James, because he respected the BG James family, and he had to adopt the name for himself. And they went to their past.
And
history.
The best name that you can pick out is Kip.
Eric, what was he wearing that night? He had pigtails in his hair.
Mark, we're giving this match too much credit.
Let's move on. Bullet Bob runs out in the middle ring, and this killed everything. I was like, Conan and Billy Bob are faced up. I was like, all right, here we go. Conan got to give him the Dukes or something. And here we go. Conan backs down for Bullet Bob Armstrong, the 6 foot old man who in nothing but a t-shirt. He's running from him, and Conan has a blackjack in his hand. He can just beat Bullet Bob in the head with it.
Like I said, Marcus gave him too much credit.
Because this was the low point of the night. That's why it wasn't a perfect night. It was just inches away from being perfect.
The next match is America's Most Wanted versus Chris Sabin and Sonjay Dutt. Very good match. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you kind of knew that Sabin and Dutt had no chance to win because of AMW's comment.
By the way, I didn't notice that Chris Sabin little ankle thing on Impact when I was watching it the week before. When they kept showing, I was like, ouch!
Yeah. So, but they really sold the injury.
Yeah.
I mentioned that in the notes if you guys are meant to go back and check it out.
I don't think you did.
Believe it or not, the next match was actually considered the best match of the night until the match that followed it. It was Rhino versus...
I didn't consider it the best match. I considered the first match the best. I don't know why.
To me, this was the best match so far. Rhino versus, I hate to say this, Abyss. Yes.
False count anywhere.
Eric has just said that Abyss had a good match.
And isn't Abyss like your arch nemesis somewhere?
The barbed wire match sucked to me. But this match was fairly good. Especially, unfortunately, Rhino didn't go all the way through it. But he gored him through the announce stands onto four tables that were stacked outside.
That was stacked up earlier by Abyss. In the match, under the ring, Rhino pulls out a trophy. Can somebody elaborate?
Who had a trophy under the ring?
What trophy was so invaluable that they just leave it under the ring? They also used Sting back.
Exactly.
It was a very nice, gorgeous match, you know. Hell of a match by both guys. Applause for Rhino and Abyss for pulling it off.
Now, the next match is the best match of the night, and more likely, not even going to talk about this yet because that's on the next show. No, actually, it's on the Monday.
Let's just talk about it now.
It's Samoa Joe who defeated AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels
yes.
to retain the X Division.
Yes.
Now, before Marcus go on a rant, Christopher Daniels, you took one hell of a whooping. You put on a hell of a show. AJ, you were just background. And Joe, I am a believer, brother. I am a believer.
What? No, this match was awesome. AJ did his part. He did his part. He was the joke. He was the jobber. He hit the Pele. He flipped over stuff. He didn't do any offensive moves that made it look like he was going to win. And then he came out first, and I was like, whoa.
I expect so much more from AJ, though.
No, he did what he does. He did a lot in the match. It's just he made a lot of mistakes in a match structure. They had him make the most mistakes out of anybody. Now, on Joe's side, he was slapping Christopher Daniels all
Marcus,
around.
Joe did what he... When we showed a highlight of Joe, when we first showed it to him, we was like, who's this fat guy? And we were disappointed. He made us prove this right here.
Joe was in, like, red shape.
When Christopher Daniels went for a head-first dive outside the ring, and Joe slapped the crap out of him, that was the greatest moment for me.
Now, when somebody's going for a suicide dive, and he gets smacked across the face, I'm like, I'm in awe.
Exactly.
It's like, yes. Yeah. time. And Christopher Daniels, when he get hit, it's always funny because it looks like he always breaks his neck.
I thought he was dead on half the time. I did.
I mean, he took a beating, man. He got kicked in the face like 8 times.
If you guys have any way, try to get this match. Very good match. I mean, I would put it this way. If TNA had 2 hours, you need to re-air this match 2 weeks after the thing, just to let people know.
I'm going to probably re-watch it later.
Or something that they could do, actually. And I think that could help boost some if maybe they put the match on their website. Let people who might not stay up.
I think what they should do, if they want to put these three in another match, well, I don't think it's going to be them three. I think it's just going to be Daniels and Joe because Joe pinned AJ Styles. He never pinned Christopher Daniels. And Christopher Daniels was pointing like, you still ain't beat me yet. You still ain't beat me.
That's a question.
And he hasn't.
I was wondering, does TNA have a cage match?
Yeah. They have Eric, at one point, they had a pay-per-view. The whole night was cage matches.
Oh.
But I seen one, which I wasn't impressed by. It was featuring Jarrett, and I didn't really like that cage match. It was on Fox Sports Net at the time, and I didn't really like that
All right,
cage
I'm
match.
Just going to put the next match, Team 3D defeated Team Canada. I didn't care about this match.
I really didn't.
And that's all you need to know.
I think D'Von Bled again.
It doesn't matter.
They got 3D.
Let's go to the next match. Christian Cage, the new NWA champion, because he defeated Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett fought a good match.
Gallant effort by Jarrett.
Jarrett tried to put the stroke in numerous positions, but it's not like the RKO and the diamond cutter. You can't apply it from anywhere.
Well, he did the stroke for the top rope. Just, oh, Earl Hefner caught the match, by the way.
Earl Hefner caught the match.
We forgot to bring this up. He was the referee.
But he got knocked out.
Pointed by Zbyszko. In traditional Earl style, he's getting knocked out. And by the way, all through the night, Zbyszko was telling everybody in the TNA locker room that he does not want no outside interference whatsoever. TNA management has discussed it. They want no outside interference. And if anybody, and he means anybody, interferes in this match, they'll be fired on the spot. That means Gail Kim should be fired because she was doing her karate all day.
Gail Kim.
Anyway, where was I on that? Good match. People run in the ring after it. Jared lost.
I don't know if it was a good match because we had low expectation for Jared, or it was just a good match.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good match.
I just want to say Christian Cage looked really old. I think, like, with all the matches, all the good matches, Christian Cage versus Jared, Samoa Joe, the AMW, the Natural, they all told very good stories. They all really, you know, painted a good picture in the script that they did the match. Team 3D, Team Canada, it was a basic tag team match that you get on Impact or Raw. Nothing was special about it.
That was about pretty much America versus Canada all of a sudden. I don't know where that came from. When did this feud all of a sudden join up again?
James Gang and LAX, who cares?
Is this feud now in the wild card, the True Killings, you know?
Well, that actually gives it a very interesting ploy. The whole truth thing. I think
he should turn on both of them and start his own little crew or something.
I'm just saying.
That isn't dancing.
Maybe. This is just me. It is Black History Month. How about the truth gets his own crew, Kenny King and Jay Lethal, become the Nation of Domination again?
What? That's such a...
I mean, it don't have to be that name, but you know, get a crew. Everybody got a crew.
I mean, he should have something.
So you say the truth and Jay Lethal?
It should be him. Monty Brown, and I don't know, whoever else is available at the time. I don't know if he should have a crew. I just don't see it.
You know what? The one thing that we can't agree on.
You know who would be his crew? He'll probably put Lance Hoyt in there.
The one thing that we need to agree on is that he just needs to stop dancing.
Yes.
All right, so that's our TNA report. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Thursday Night Raw.
Thursday.
Now it's time for Thursday Night Raw. For a stupid ass dog show where an ugly ass dog won, I had to wait to Thursday to watch wrestling. Monday nights, nothing comes on television. Just don't do that to me.
But 24. Don't ever talk about 24.
I talk about what I want to talk about. Now, let's get into the show. Are you ready for the show, Mario?
Yes, it's fresh in my mind. We just seen it.
And you see how we just started off this report? That's how Raw started off. No talking, no gimmicks. The music hit. Triple H came out.
There wasn't even no Welcome to Monday Night Raw.
No, it was just Triple H versus The Big Show. Qualifying match. Marcus Dream. Triple H is still a mid-carder. Headlining the show.
Well, he's not a mid-carder. He's starting the show right now. This is the bottom of it. This is Snitsky status right here. So he's going to main event heat, Eric.
Okay. Big Show attacks Triple H out of the gates with headbutts and chops. He press slams Triple H, and then he begins to focus on Triple H's hand. Show gives...
Well, now, here's the question in the middle of this match. I have to talk over you. Why is he focusing on Triple H's hand? Is there some sudden injury that Triple H has had on?
Could you stop interrupting me? I gave you a pause to come in, and you didn't do it. You waited until I started talking.
It just feels right when I interrupt.
You can't!
All right, go ahead. Why is he working on his hand?
I don't know!
Let's go to the rest of the show.
Because he's working on his hand because Triple H broke his hand.
That's why?
That's why.
That's the only answer I needed.
Show gives Triple H chops in the corner, and Triple H does his wobbly leg, you know, flop, kind of like Ric Flair imitation. Then Big Show throws Triple H outside the ring. Triple H almost hit the stairs. Big Show goes after Triple H, but Triple H stops him and rams his head into the ring post, which starts the crimson to flow, and they go to commercial.
Oh, yes. Big Show is bleeding at this point.
When we get back from commercial, Triple H is putting work in, and he's working on Big Show's head. But Show was able to escape by landing an atomic drop and then a power slam. Show tries to choke slam Triple H, but he reverses that into a DDT. Kind of sloppy, but it worked. He lands the pedigree out of nowhere, but the Big Show kicks out. At this point, I believe it was the coach that was selling the fact that no one has ever kicked out the pedigree, blah, blah, blah. I have seen people kicked out the pedigree before.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago, Flair kicked out.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about, coach?
Well, not in their qualifying match, but in the their last main or cage, whatever they had.
All right. He attempts another pedigree, but Show reverses that into a neck breaker, kind of reverse neck drop.
It's what Philly's been doing lately.
Yeah, what Philly's been doing. And then he signals for the choke slam. He gets Triple H in the choke slam, but Triple H, being the vet that he is, he pokes him in the eye. Ric Flair-ish. Triple H then climbs the rope. What the hell is he doing climbing the rope?
Did you know he used to be the master of the middle rope?
He jumps off, and Big Show grabs Triple H and delivers the choke slam. But he can't win because Triple H has the ring presence, and he puts his foot on the bottom rope.
Now, the ring presence is always nice. Always like, you don't see that as much this anymore. When somebody just get that one foot up there, it's always the quick shoulder pop up, or it's a kick out. I like seeing the foot on the rope.
They brawled outside the ring, which led to a double count out, which means that no one won the match. That did not stop the brawl. Big Show goes to clear the announce table because he wants to choke slam Triple H, but Triple H lands a low blow. Mm-hmm. Triple H is doing his strut around, but the Big Show kind of spears him or pushes him through the barricade, and Triple H is in the most funniest, painfulest, awkward-looking position I've ever seen a grown man in.
Yes, he was flexing, I guess, stretching and doing his... I guess he's been studying yoga to get in this one. That's really painful because it looks like you see the bones, like... hooking on that side, just like, yeah.
I thought it was a decent match to start off. I just didn't like the double count out.
Big Show seemed a little slow. They could have had it differently when they both get, like, DQ'd or something. Because they keep hitting the ref or something. You know, one of those fashion things. Or they could have had a bigger... Or they could have knocked each other off with a 10, at least.
But you know what cheered me up after this? They start airing Shawn Michaels footage. And the first footage they air is when Shawn Michaels lost his smile.
Yeah, this is one of the funniest... storylines ever.
He lost.
And he was selling it.
And it took.
I don't remember he was selling it this hard. He had a tear coming down and everything.
And it took Jose Lothario to come back and bring his smile back.
Yes, and then he won the championship.
So we go inside of Vince McMahon's office, and he's in there with his lawyers for the retirement party. Todd Grisham interrupts, and he wanted to know, since Triple H and Big Show both were counted out, he assumed that the winner of the RVD Chris Master match would get to go to WrestleMania.
On the contrary, he sees it as not two losers, but as two winners.
Yes, and because they show ruthless aggression, and that means that next week, it will be a triple threat match with the winner of the RVD Masters match facing Big Show and Triple H. That's so freaking unfair.
But for who, though?
For the winner of the RVD Chris Masters match.
That's unfair.
Because now you got to beat Big Show and Triple H. It's one thing just to beat Big Show or Triple H, well, but now both of them.
Look, you can work together with Triple H. Because
you can't trust Triple H.
I know, you can trust him from the beginning, because his hatred for the Big Show knows no limits. And then you can eliminate him like you always do, and then you and whoever you're fighting go at it with.
So after that, we're not out of Vince's locker room. Mama Benjamin comes in, and she pleads with Vince to give Shelton a shot at the IC title.
I thought she died.
No. Vince tells her if Shelton defeats Eugene, then he would get a shot. My issue with this, so because Eugene messed with his mama... if Eugene wins this match, does he get an Intercontinental title shot too?
I hope not. I would have hoped not. I mean, if Eugene is your number one contender for the Intercontinental title has problems. Well, it's Barry and Snitsky.
I guess. Then we go inside Mick Foley's locker room. He's preparing for his refereeing duties, humming the WrestleMania theme song. Lita interrupts and begins to give Foley a lot of compliments. She said that Scooter was one of her favorite books. He then asked her what part of the book was her favorite. She couldn't answer, and she said, cut the crap. No one read your freaking book. He just wanted to make sure that you didn't screw him.
He didn't say free. He said damn. Nobody read your damn book, Foley.
Foley reminded everyone that he knew Edge longer than John Cena, And he did ref The Rock versus Steve Austin match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but he did interfere and get knocked out in that match and everything else. A lot of hoopla happened in that match, Foley.
He said that refereeing experience was a great feeling, and he would call this match right down the middle.
One, two, three, right down the middle. The Barbie style.
Anyway, where are we?
I guess now we're at Eugene and Shelton Benjamin. Do you have anything to say about Foley?
Foley is in better shape than Bubba Ray Dudley?
Now, I was offended by this match because Marcus and Ryan got a kick out of something I really felt was inappropriate. Before this match started, they aired footage of Eugene interacting with Mama Benjamin last week. Eugene had chocolates that earned a Valentine box when he came down to the ring, and he was trying to give Sheldon's mama some, but she refused. Sheldon came out to the ring, looked at Eugene, and knocked the candy out of his hand. Yes. Now, wait, before Eugene went to go pick it up because he was hurt, Sheldon kicked him in the face.
Yes! That's ruthless aggression! Now, I guess you could clearly say Sheldon's a villain now. He's no longer the nice guy. He's no longer the nice mama boy of the past. He's now evil mama's boy Sheldon.
I just wish that Eugene wasn't playing a slow character because it really makes you feel bad because right there, the first thing that went through my mind, Sheldon just beat up Forrest Gump. That's what I was like, what? You can't beat up Forrest Gump.
You couldn't beat up Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was tough, man. He had fits of steel. Well, anyway, there was something I was going to say in this. Eugene's character needs to die. There was something else. You can go. I probably remember.
So after this,
oh, this was it. Sorry.
Go ahead.
This. Oh, why did Sheldon bring his mother out to the ring knowing that she just suffered a stroke / heart attack / I don't know what on previous weeks because he brought her to ringside?
Because he feels that, remember, if he leaves his mama alone, weird things happen.
Oh, yes, Goldust, the Prince of Perv would come out.
Anyway, so Sheldon, after he kicks Eugene, he puts him in the ring, and he makes the mistake, and he bangs his head against the turnbuckle, which turns Eugene into the Incredible Hulk. Eugene lands his airplane spin, but Sheldon eventually gets a Samoa drop. Sheldon wins this match with the Exploder. After the match, he grabs the mic and say that next week when he wins the IC champion, no one won't call him a mama's boy. They will call him the IC champ. And because they were in North Carolina, he gave them a nice little woo!
Which was shocking. They was in North Carolina and there was no Flair the whole night. And I would like to see Flair do something in the match.
Now, once again, it's time for me to give my Morphoplex worst match of the night to Ashley versus Tori Wilson.
No, this wasn't worse than Eugene and Sheldon.
No, yes it was.
Eugene and Sheldon was a squash match.
Marcus, did you enjoy seeing Sheldon kick the chocolate out of Eugene's hand?
Yes.
What did you enjoy about the Ashley and Tori match?
Candice Michelle came and talked about Playboy.
That's not a match.
You said
that's after the match. Anyway, Tori whoops on Ashley ass the majority of the match and even gives her some dog anus. And once again, when you rub a dog's anus in somebody's face, it really should be outlawed.
But this match wasn't that bad, man. Ashley has had worse with Mickie James.
I don't know.
It wasn't that bad. It was two people that really couldn't wrestle who structured a match when they can handle.
I don't.
It wasn't that bad.
Eventually, Ashley wins with a schoolgirl pinup.
That was supposed to be a crucifix.
Yeah, but she messed up. Oh, well. I guess the most important thing about this is Candice Michelle hopped in the ring, said it's okay that you lost, Tori, because I'll be on the March 10th edition of the Playboy magazine. She strips down, shows us her bra and panties. Her clothes were thrown at Tori. She looked at her funny. And the thing is, now they bought the feud.
I hope it's not another diva feud. Because I don't need Candice Michelle and Tori Wilson in the ring.
Then they aired the most recent clip about Sean telling Vince that he needed to let Montreal go, which started this whole Vince McMahon thing.
Did they hear this?
Yep. And then they said that next would be the Shawn Michaels retirement party.
No, wasn't it the one with him talking about him and Triple H?
I missed that in notes. That was a little bit earlier.
Okay.
So my bad. Yeah, they had footage of him when he was talking about being with the Clique on the last day in Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. If you know Shawn Michaels, you know the story. So now it's time for the Shawn Michaels retirement party. One thing I can say about this, it wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be, and luckily it did not end the show.
Yeah, I'm glad it ended the show. I'm glad it main evented the first part of Raw, pretty much.
That's all we had to say.
It didn't have to end the show. I didn't want it to end the show after. I didn't want this to happen after the championship match against
Once again, they learning that the championship has to be more important than Shawn Michaels.
Even though the title spins.
So when we come back, the ring is surrounded by the lawyers, and Vince McMahon walks out. He introduces Shawn Michaels as the biggest pain in the ass. Now, if my memory serves me correct, wasn't Vince McMahon's biggest pain in the ass Steve Austin? Yeah. And after Steve Austin, wasn't it Mick Foley?
It starts like this. First, it was actually Brett, because he screwed him. That was a pain in the ass. And if you want to go even further, it was the Warrior, but that's a different story indeed. Then it was pretty much Steve Austin and D-Generation X, probably like D-Generation X was Sergeant Slaughter's problem, so never mind. And then it was Mick Foley. Then I guess it was Bischoff.
No, Mark, it doesn't matter.
It just went on and on.
Vince is on the mic, and he pretends like he had a lot of special things planned for Shawn's retirement, but he said the only thing that I had for you was a Spirit Squad.
Now, here's a problem right here. This is supposed to be a retirement party, yet there was a black cover on carpet on the mat, a desk, and a chair. What was the balloons and the strippers for a retirement party?
I don't know.
This was misery. He had two lawyer dudes with a briefcase.
Well, Mars, I thought you would enjoy the Spirit Squad. They came out there.
No, this was just
They said 20 years have passed. Now it's time to kiss Vince's ass, and he will headline the unemployment line, and Shawn was going down, 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 down. Shawn then says he doesn't want to retire because he loves the business. Vince demands to have his mic cut off and he needs to sign the paperwork. He refuses to sign, snatches Vince's mic, and he said he wants to know why he wants this so bad. Vince says he wants Shawn to retire because Shawn has the only thing that Vince can't get, and that is inner peace. He said that you cannot buy inner peace. He said Shawn doesn't know what it feels like to run a company. Right here is when Shawn Michaels should have handed Vince McMahon the Bible.
I wanted to see him pull out a little Bible. What a little orange one.
Yeah.
And be like, here, Vince. So now at WrestleMania, they're going to have a match for inner peace, right?
I don't know.
They're going to hang Shawn Michaels' inner peace on a ladder. Because that's the only way you can get inner peace in life is by winning in a ladder match against Shawn Michaels.
Now, so Vince McMahon's like, sign the paper, damn it. Sign it. He gives a very good promo, Vince of old. And Michaels looks at the paper. He's thinking about it again. He just said he doesn't want to retire, but he's thinking about it again. He throws Vince's good pen down, tears it up, and walks out.
And he flings it in the air.
And then Vince slaps Michaels.
He gives a little tap on the cheek.
And then Michaels starts throwing desk in the desk.
He goes on like a little kid temper tantrum.
Exactly. Yeah. And Vince walks out the ring. And then, out of nowhere, Vince pulls out a mic, and he informs Shawn that he has opened the floodgates to hell, and they play No Chance in Hell music. Now, Mars, I pose a very important question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the only thing Shawn Michaels had to do was not sign, why did Shawn Michaels just not come out there?
Yeah, I mean, I see no difference from getting fired and retiring in this situation. There was no reason. I said this, I think, last week. There is no reason to show up. If it's mandatory for you to retire, don't show up because you're going to get fired. You're going to retire anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, see, the reason why he probably showed up because, you know, if you get fired, you don't get your benefits.
Who cares? Shawn Michaels get a job anywhere in any wrestling place and sell out arenas. He is the so-called showstopper. If just say, for example, if Shawn Michaels would go to TNA, TNA will have at least get to that 2.0 rating.
All right, let's get to the whole next thing. Next match, qualifying match, Chris Masters versus Rob Van Dam. Now, which kind of strikes me kind of funny, though, is that when you think this match would have been the first match instead of Triple H versus Big Show?
Yeah, but...
but it's not, I guess.
Apparently, Rob Van Dam has more main event quality and Chris Masters than Triple H at this current time. All right.
Master knocks RVD down with a shoulder block. Then he mocks RVD by saying Masterpiece with his thumbs. But then RVD gets him with a series of kicks. RVD then kicks Masters to the edge of the apron and delivers a leg drop that he jumps over the top rope and lands on the apron. He pushes him inside a little bit, jumps back over, and gives him another leg drop. Masters lands a power slam off the top rope, which gives him control in the match. He knocked RVD off of the ring into the barricade, into the fans, but can only get a two count after that.
That was nice. I like seeing him.
That was a nice little spot. Nice. RVD then lands a kick from the top of the ropes when Masters is trying to get that. He lands a rolling thunder, but then he gets crotched by Masters, who attempts a superplex, but then RVD kicks him down, and then that sets up for the five-star press for the win. What the most shocking thing about this match, it was a clean finish.
I thought it was going to be clean. I thought at one point, because I believe Carlito said it's... I don't know. He had, like, some complaints about something. I thought maybe he may double-cross his old friend Masters again, So both of them be in the same boat, not challenging for a challenge. You know, challenging for
not
the title.
Not challenging for a challenge.
Challenging for the next round of challenge. Ha, cleaned it up. Anyway, you know, I thought maybe Carlito, but Carlito was not on the night as well as Flair.
All right.
And Rob Van Dam with the 5-star floor special for the finish.
Now it's time for Marcus' favorite segment of the night. This is where Jack, the guy better known as Trish Dates,
the scumbag,
knocks on the locker room for Trish Trash, and he goes inside there, and he tries to assault Mickie James.
Yeah,
Mickie James was just in there with a blonde wig, and this guy had the nerve said, friends and friends share everything, then he makes a move on Mickie.
And that guard, security guard, son, who looks a lot like a skinny Big Boss Man.
And he, you know, because, you know, Mickie was screaming. Unfortunately, that's not the way it happened on the camera, but that's how me and Marcus saw it.
We saw
it through the eyes of Mickie. What really happened on camera is that he comes in there, Mickie tries to make a move on him, talking about that we share everything. He's like, no. She's like, yes. She's like, you don't want me? Then she starts screaming. The security car comes and runs it in. But the best part about this whole thing is when Trish arrives, Mickey's inside the locker room crying and shaking up. And she's like, what happened? Mickie tells her what we just said at the beginning about Jack trying to attack her. And
Jack?
And the security just validates her story. I was here. I saw it all.
I saw the whole thing. Now, what is stopping Trish from seeing this on videotape of the footage? Because this is Monday Night Raw. This was recorded Monday. She can watch it at home on Thursday and enjoy the show.
Well, my issue is, if this security guard saw the whole thing, what took him so long to stop? Was he trying to get a free show?
I don't know, but it was funny, though, when she really just went crazy on him. And Jack had nowhere to go. And Jack was, she was like, what are you talking about? And she just starts screaming and starts ripping her clothes like, ah! Like, ah!
So Trish apologizes. Mickie says that she is happy that it happened to her instead of it happened to Trish. The storyline between these two chicks.
And then they hugged.
And
I guess that's her friend now and she can be trusted.
I don't know.
Although Jack is probably going to come back. But Mickie and I have a cover plan.
Now it's time for the main event. It's Edge and John Cena with a special guest ref, Mick Foley, for the WWE Championship. This match starts off with a bunch of headlocks and shoulder blocks given to Edge by John Cena. Edge had enough and he went out to talk to Lita. They went to commercial. When they came back to commercial, Cena was in control and he landed a fisherman suplex, but only achieved a 2 count. He went back to the headlock. Edge lands a standing dropkick for a 2 count. Pretty much. Edge places Cena on a top rope for a superplex, but Cena hooks the turnbuckle with his foot and then pushes Edge off and does a splash from the top rope.
That looked like he was shooting a Superman in the green screen. It was the worst splash. He had his hands out like this. Whee! And it looked like he was going belly flop in a pool instead of jumping on a man in the ring. It looked like his first splash ever.
Edge ramps Cena head into the turnbuckle and tells Lita to take the patent off of the turnbuckle. Foley catches her and then he ejects her out of the match because she was trying to take off the pad.
Yes.
During the commercial, Edge backdropped Cena on the ring barrier and also delivered a baseball slide to Cena's lower back.
That wasn't in the commercial. That was when they were showing during the commercial because they didn't do the dual screen.
Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
And he only gets a 2 count. I just want to say the barrier was used more than any other night I saw tonight.
Yeah.
Foley tells the coach, when he gets into it, Foley tells the coach that he was late. And they were like, oh, you admitted it. So, Cena lands a belly-to-belly suplex after his clothesline, and then another shoulder block.
Now, why did Foley have to confide with the coach and be like, I was late on that one, coach. You knew, I'm not trying to cheat him, but I was just late on that one.
Edge gave Cena a big boot, and he climbs the rope. Cena climbs up there and teases that he's going to deliver an FU to Edge, but Edge gets a powerbomb, but Cena kicks out. Mm-hmm. He kicks out, which then leads him to hit a side slam, which leads to the fire.
No, Edge didn't kick out. Oh, sorry, I had to interrupt.
Cena kicked out.
I know, but it was on the, what you call him? He has feet on the ropes and Foley. He didn't kick out.
Whatever.
Okay.
Cena hits a side slam, 5-knuckle shuffle, but Edge gave him the impaler. Didn't win the match, but it did. Edge spears Foley out of the ring on accident. Cena slaps on the STFU. Edge taps, but Foley is out. Lita comes in, breaks the hold. Lita grabs the WWE Championship belt, gives it to Edge. Edge clocks Cena, only gets a 2 count. Edge climbs the top rope, but Cena catches him, gives him the FU, wins the match. Edge argues with Foley. Lita gives him a low blow from behind. Edge spears him. And that was the match. Problems with this match. Decent match. My only issue was afterwards, because I kind of know that the Edge and Foley thing is what they're setting up for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. But why were they playing Edge music at the end? He beat up Foley. You just lost. You don't play the person's music.
Yeah, my problem with this is that Edge had did everything to Cena, and yet Cena could kick out. Power bombs. The Impala DDT. Hit him with the belt. You know, baseball slides, railing hits, staircases, and moonsaults. Choked him out. He did everything, but yet Cena overcomes the odds, as he always do, with his shoulder blocks and clotheslines, his failed attempt for a big splash, and a fireman's carry.
Well, that was the match. That's how it happened.
And that's how it... That's where they really dropped the ball.
That's why TNA was better. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't really know what they were going with this Raw. They were going everywhere. But what can you say it was
really,
Raw?
It didn't seem like it solved anything to nothing. The only thing that really was accomplished was that the triple threat match between RVD, The Big Show, and Triple H, which is probably, I think it's going to be a pretty good match. Can't, I don't think you can go wrong there, although I believe Triple H is going to win it. But, you know. What else am I? Foley and Edge is going to feud, probably fight at WrestleMania. Mickey James and Jack, who knows where that's going?
All I hope to say is I hope SmackDown picks up the slack that Raw left out.
It really wasn't that good.
It wasn't. It was okay Raw.
Just, it was nothing.
It was mediocre. I think also because we saw the Against All Odds last night, so it kind of...
I didn't see it last night. I seen it a while, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And that's the Raw report. Marcus feels that we have to inform you that there is a Raw report or break. I don't think we should, but
you have to.
Marcus feels that you're not. You have to. You're not smart. I don't know.
You have to go to like the next segment. You have to be like.
We'll be back after this short little break. Now it's time for listener feedback. We received an email from William Brown, who has actually joined my MySpace page. He said, "You guys are great, and I love listening to you guys, but I have a problem. I can't download episodes 1 through 21 because, well, it's just not working when I'm trying to download it." I actually don't know what the problem is. I've been working on it, can't figure it out, but I know the only way that you probably can listen to those episodes is probably go to our website and click on it and listen from the website.
That's sharpshooters.blogspot.com.
If I figure out a way to do it, I will send you an email and let you know and actually put it on the show. That's how we do that. That's how we roll.
Is that how you do?
That's how we do. All right, we received an audio clip from Floyd. Me and Marcus has just had a discussion about, do we have to introduce an audio clip?
Yeah, because what? Is it going to come out left field?
I personally feel that you should just have to answer a question. You move into the next audio clip because the people on the audio clips, they introduce themselves. So what we're going to do
is... Yeah, but you got to at least say it's an audio clip coming up because all of a sudden it's another voice coming in. It's not one of us. Who is it?
It's an audio clip that they
introduce
themselves.
Yeah, but does the audio clip say, "Oh, I'm a listener"? It just said, "I'm Floyd from the Netherlands."
But what it is, it's the listener's choice. Whoever listens to the podcast, I will put a poll up on the site. If you want us to introduce your audio comments before we play, vote yes. If you don't, vote no. Whoever wins the vote, that's the format that we do. Now, since that's out the way, we have a listener comment from Floyd. We're going to play that comment, and we'll be right back.
Yo, what's up, guys? It's me again. Hey, just wanted to let you know I was, you know, just checking out the podcast, and your top five is on point, man. I completely forgot about Eugene. Oh, man, I'm so tired of that. And before I go on, I want to give a shout-out, too, to the new listeners. Hopefully they drop some audio. People worldwide in Scotland, hopefully I'll be over there playing some golf. And, you know, I just want to give you guys some credit, man, because... this podcasting thing, just it's hard enough just me dropping the email, man. You guys are doing this like twice a week, man, so I want to give you some shouts out. And I was just thinking an idea, you know, me and a couple boys were talking, and I was thinking maybe you guys can do something like a simulcast. What I mean is, let's say if, you know, Eric and Marcus, let's say if you guys are watching a pay-per-view or something like that, if you guys can record the show while you're watching it, and that way we could play it back and kind of get you guys' comments. You know, that might be kind of cool. And I just have a question, you know, because I'm just pretty curious. Just what made you guys get started, you know, podcasting, you know, because like I said, it's probably a lot, you know, harder than what people think, because just putting together an email is kicking my butt. So I'm out. Sharpshooters rule. I'll holler at you guys next week. Peace.
Once again, thanks, Floyd, for that email. The question is, what got us started in podcasting? Marcus, I'll let you go first.
Some weak-ass podcast on iTunes. I just heard and I was like, I can do better than this. And we pretty much started from there. And it jumped into the Sharpshooters pretty much.
Well, for me, I have to say probably the one big thing is that I actually got me an Apple computer. And I heard everybody talking about what can you do with GarageBand. I never had any idea what to do with it. Then I started listening to other podcasts like the Madcast and stuff. And then everybody was just talking about how easy it is to put together a show. So I said, Marcus, let's do a show. We thought about it. It was like, what are we going to talk about? Let's do sports. Let's do this. We finally thought about let's do wrestling. Then we looked into iTunes. And when we started, it was like maybe two or three shows in there. So we was like, that's the perfect niche. Not that many people do it. So we did it. I just remember, though, that about episode 3 or episode 4 was like, I don't feel like doing this no more. But then we got an email, and then they just start coming and just kind of start flowing. And that was pretty much
something
it.
Something like that, I think. And as, but mostly that one podcast, I was like, what are you listening to? And I came in, this guy's just reading. He's like, he's reading on paper like, well, Triple H fought Ric Flair and Triple H won, da-da-da-da-da-da. Blah, 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 blah. And they just made me frustratedly mad that there has to be something better. And I say, I'm better. And then I said, we're better. And then I said, the Sharpshooters have to exist.
Now,
after numerous trial runs of that.
As for the commentary on a live event, Marcus has always been big on that idea. I don't know, because that takes a lot of time and effort. And I don't know, maybe one day it might happen.
Look.
I think right now my main focus is to try to find a way to get at least have once a month an episode where it's just not me and Marcus talking, but we actually put some other listeners in the show. That's my main goal.
This was what I proposed. I never said I want to do it on like a live event, but at one point in my short-lived career in this, I was actually going to do an entire podcast of commentating on DVDs and stuff. It was a bad idea, and I realized it was a bad idea when I was doing it. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I could do more time on my stuff. Then it came around to like, about week 8 of doing the show. And I said, no, it'd be a good idea. And the commentating thing come in. If we do it on wrestling, then I threw that idea out, and Eric agreed with me. Not many people get to see wrestling over and over again, in which they have it TiVo or taped on the VCR every week just to hear us talk doing the show to try to, you know, do an interchange. And then we have to rewatch the show and every show like Impact, SmackDown, and Raw and go through everything and make sure that it's edited clean. And that take a lot of time.
And then honestly, too, we couldn't really rewatch the show and do the commentary because then we'll be biased and use the same quotes that they use. So we would have to watch it live. And I just think it would be a lot harder. But maybe, you never know. You never say never.
Now, this one I say we could do if it's like a DVD out there. And, you know, let's say, like I was watching Anthology. Like, you know, I went through all the WrestleManias. 1 to 20, whatever number, 21. And I say, maybe we could do, not on the whole event, but like on a select match that we like, say, let's say, I don't know why this one popped in my head. The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. Can't remember the WrestleMania at the time. But, you know, if we chose that one to do, I think it was WrestleMania 19. If we chose to do that, commentary on that match, just, you know, go through all of it, I think that would work better than doing commentary on a live show. Because old, and you can bring back old memories. And
like I said, if you
talk
Ryan,
about DX and all
if
that.
If you and Ryan want to do commentary,
now,
feel
I'm
free.
Probably not going to do it, but I'm just saying, always got to keep that rolling. I think that's a good idea. It'd be cool if somebody did
but,
that.
Like we said, we appreciate all the feedback. Now, also, when we put the poll up there, please settle the dissension in the Sharpshooters camp over should we introduce the the audio comments, or just let them play?
No, now, you have to
Now, with that out the way.
Isn't that closing statements?
No, it's not the closing statements. I have to do the sponsors.
Oh, yes.
The music for this episode was provided by the Pod Show Pod Safe Music Network. You can check them out at music.podshow.com. The band tonight is called Atomic Joe, and the song is called, I believe, 70M or 70 Meters. If you enjoy what you hear, check them out at the Pod Safe Music Network. Now Marcus has closing comments. Take it away.
All right, my closing comments is, you have to introduce segments and emails, by the way. Let me throw that in for a poll question. Also want to Eric to throw out this poll question before he threw this one up all of a sudden. That I wanted to poll question, are the listeners excited about this upcoming WrestleMania 22 coming up? Is there anything? Hey, didn't we have an email from Omar? Yeah, we had an email from no. That was this week.
No, it was last week.
You sure?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You sure, Omar? We didn't read your email. I'm sorry, but I think it's this week.
No, it was last week. We read it.
Well, anyway, this inspired this email. I mean, this poll question. Are you excited about WrestleMania 22? Is there anything that has got you excited? Is it yes for one? No. I need more time to think about it. Or I don't know. I'll put some meh. You know, one of those.
Mark, it's a simple poll. Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah. And, you know, it's too early to tell. That's the fourth one. You got to have that one in there.
Is that it?
Rapper Map, join it. Podcast Alley. We're like at 303. Last time I looked, probably like at 318 now. You know, we're moving up. Vote, review at iTunes. You know, if you want to do that. I think that's pretty much it.
Now, guess it's my turn. My feel on it, the audio comments or anything, because if we start getting a lot of audio comments, there's no reason to introduce everybody, since everybody introduced themselves in their own audio comment. You play the audio comment. I didn't cut you off.
Oh,
you play the audio comment. After we play, we comment on it. Simple as that. I think if you just let the show smooth, instead of letting you know everything that we do, I think you kind of figure it out. If you're listening to a show, you stop hearing us talking, you hear a clip play, then you realize that that's a comment
you
coming in.
You just can't stop talking. You just can't all of a sudden stop talking from one email and then go to an audio clip. You have to say, here's the next audio clip or here's the first audio clip. You just can't say, okay, Raw's a good show.
Hey, this is Floyd from the Netherlands.
And you go like that. You can't just do that.
Like I said, we're gonna let the listeners decide. If they vote yes, then
is this all you got to say?
Yeah, that's all I pretty much have to say.
Alright.
So I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters, and this has been episode 44. We'll be back on Saturday for episode 45.
The sequel.
See you guys then.